It means there is a technique called negotiating techniques. The technique is very important. As a purchase manager, we need to have that skills of how to negotiate. Negotiation is actually a process between buyer and seller, because we are assessing what is need of each other and try to find out where we will fit in exactly. It is actually not concentrating on the final requirement of both end, so as we meet his objective and we meet our objective. So it becomes win-win situation, rather than of seller is taking advantage or the buyer is taking advantage of it. Suppose a vendor cuts prices by 10%. If the buyer agrees for contract covering an entire year, it is natural. Both of them benefited, because the buyer assured of supplies consistently from the same vendor and same quality appropriately and the same price. And the similar way, a seller is in a scenario where he can assure of his demand is consistent and he can ensure that price is adopted appropriately to manage his overall cost. This is a victory for the buyer who makes a saving. This is also a victory for the supplier who is guaranteed a monopoly position for 1 year. So this is a long-term contract process which helps for a better negotiation techniques on overall pricing, costing, service, quality, etc., etc. Basic rules definitely to be defined. Some of the principles applied for successful negotiations are: put yourself in supplier's shoes. Most of the time we sit across the table and discuss about what we need and what we want. Rather, if we put ourselves in the supplier's shoes or supplier's position, we may start thinking slightly different. So it helps us to negotiate better, where we can compromise, where we can not compromise, either on price, quality, quantity. It is natural that we come to a better understanding of each other. Let the supplier do most of the talking. It is one important factor. It is always to allow the supplier to talk. Capture all those inputs he gives. Analyze, scrutinize, validate, and look at what is very positive for our purchasing process. Use those as our effective tool for negotiation. Let the supplier save face, because it always ensures the supplier knows what to share, what not to share. Satisfy the supplier's needs. It is also possible some of the supplier's need can be fulfilled in the negotiation table, so he come forward and we keep one step ahead, so the negotiation is more fruitful and win-win. Talk to the proper person. Many of the negotiation happens in a long session, but end up with discussing with the wrong person who doesn't have authority to decide on pricing or service related factor. It is always necessary to identify whom we should negotiate, to identify the price, quantity, quality, etc., to adhere based on our need and create those purchase orders or agreement appropriately. Sell the supplier. Convince the supplier that buyer is worth doing business over the longer term. If your market is visible to the seller, it is your supplier, so it is natural that he is willing to associate with you for assurance of his own business, is piggybacking on your business. It is always possible that kind of scenario, a supplier will support you worth better than what we expect from him. Take up one point at a time. Many times we confuse many points, like we will talk about price and suddenly go for volume, then that and suddenly go for terms and etc., etc. It collapses the negotiation process. So it is always look at what go well first in that particular scenario and start negotiating one by one. Finally decide upon multiple factors, arrive and conclude with a final decision. Don't rush the process. Negotiation process is not of, you know, rushing fast. It should be always thought through well, defined, and look at those questionnaires are properly filled, validate all elements, appropriately do the costing of that, and come out with the right final price, so the negotiation will be better. Be honest and impersonal. At the time of negotiation, we should be very honest and also sharing what is possible to share, and not to be very personal focus on that particular scenario. Negotiation sessions. We talked about negotiation session cannot be hurried. So what we should do? Most of the time, the negotiation to take place at buyer's office. The vendor sends a top sales official to assist the local sales representative. He may also send the controller, chief engineer, manufacturing superintendent if the decision involves their specialties. Purchasing may also draw on other departments for technical assistance. As we stated, if the vendor is invited at our site, it is possible to connect all the internal resources and discuss and give all our inputs better so as the supplier understand all, and then he can come back immediately or taken some time to come with the revised quote or appropriate pricing or other elements related to supply. Advanced planning. The participant is a negotiating session accomplish more if the session is planned in advance with an agenda indicating what is to be discussed. See, one of the important factors in any meeting is set an agenda. What is the goal of purpose and goal of that particular meeting? What is expected out of that meeting? What is the end game? And who is to be involved? What are the action plans agreed among themselves? And so as arrive at what is the right conclusion of that planning session. So it is important to do the planning in advance, get those people to be invited appropriate time and need, connect with the information which are important to take a decision, and then involve, if necessary, financial team to ensure the pricing discussion is more effective. Pre-negotiation. Many buyers prefer a less direct approach in which business and social activities are intermixed. See what happens in some cases, there is a possibility of the bidder can meet you elsewhere in a social area or social format, so as then social activity, so business and social activities are mixed with each other. For example, the buyer and seller may enjoy 18 holes of golf together without discussing business problems at all. Then in the locker room, each may gently sound the other out on the basic problem. Neither party presents anything that could be construed as a formal offer or counter offer at this time. Each party listens sympathetically as the other discusses problems and objective. No attempt is made to conclude the agreement. It is like preparing ourselves. What is expected in that kind of negotiation, so as he comes prepared and we go prepared, so at the end of the day we can come with a nice and final commitment and agreement for a negotiated pricing or services or product quantity or long range association. Order placements and delivery. Once negotiated, order placement is important, followed with how it is to be executed. Let us go one by one. Single versus multiple sources. The negotiation process winds up with the placement of one or more orders. A basic decision is to be made, should the purchase be a single or multiple source. There are possibility that we may go with the multiple vendors, though the product is same, the price is slightly varied, or it may be same. Same quantity, same terms and conditions. These are possible. We may go for multiple options so as there is no failures is looked at. In most real life purchases, the business is awarded to a single supplier whose price is the lowest among those bidding. As we stated, after the negotiation, if we find the lower bidding is the right one, we go with the lowest price and then we award the contract or agreement or purchase order to him. If a supplier quoting a higher price offer, better quality, delivery or service, it may get the order. Reciprocity and the other factors also may influence the selection of suppliers. We talked about some of the elements like reciprocity, like means how he is responding, the vendor is responding or the supplier is responding to our changing requirements or certain kind of engineering changes, or he has to invest certain kind of instrument as well as machinery to produce certain element. Is the reciprocatory activities. It's natural that we may choose certain kind of vendors rather than of rigid vendors or supplier to avoid conflict. Is there any benefit going with a single source or single vendor? Is there any advantages for as a buyer's perspective? Let us look at some of the elements related to single source of procurement. Step by step, let us get into the detail. They make maximum use of their buying power. It is possible to negotiate on many factors which are giving the best price to buy a component. There is a less administrative work for buyer's organization. It means a single purchase order, the entire organization is associated with one single vendor. It is natural that all the administrative work is predominantly reduced in large level. The supplier often offers special price concessions if they can make 100% of the requirement of a given item. If the supplier knows he is a single vendor and he is the monopoly of supplying the entire requirement of the buyer, it is natural he will be in a position to give a better concession at the time of deciding what type of concession is possible. It's on price, on service, or holding inventory, or any other modifications or demand fluctuation being looked at. One supplier generally needs only one set of tool to be given by the buyer. It is possible some kind of tools which required to measure or validate, it can be given by the buyer directly, so it is possible to one tool is provided to the particular vendor. It mostly works better in molding industry, where you don't require multiple molds. You have one mold which is given to one particular vendor, he blow molding activity happening on one single block rather than of having similar block and investing on those assets. Rather, a single vendor can use that efficiently and produce more number of output from a single mold. The supplier have more incentive to aid in methods of improvement. The supplier can be associated with many kind of internal discussions on product development, or other kind of activity which we are planned related to the product. He best bring him in and develop his helping to that kind of technical as well as the engineering marvels which can be adopted from the supplier. This way both can be benefited with each other. Similar way, there is also an advantage of multiple sources. What are type of advantages? Best one is less risk, because we will have uninterrupted supply. It means if one vendor fails, it is natural that we can depend on another vendor. If in single vendor scenario it is not possible, then we have to look for somebody from outside our purview of vendor management. A healthy competitive spirit can be developed among the two or more suppliers. It is always possible if there are multiple vendors, there can be always a competitiveness between among themselves to give you best service, best quality, and also improve a positive competitiveness among them. Many items require little or no tooling. There is no cost premium for tooling a second source. It is possible there is no tool required. These are all very standard product which can be either procured from A or B, and the price can be modulated based on what is optimally we can obtain from both of them. The unit price of the item is not higher with two or more sources than it would be if all requirements are concentrated on a single source. As we stated, if the unit price of one item is not more, so it is natural that we can have two more sources than having one resource. So it is always concentrating on a single resource is challenging. The buyer has found a new supplier with low prices whom he would like to introduce to the item, but whom he is not familiar enough to trust with 100% of business. There is always possibility, we stated, that we grow with a vendor, his cost is increasing, naturally his price will increase, that will reflect in our own product pricing, then we have to look for alternative. So it is, and we cannot trust totally on a new vendor, so as we can distribute some of the volume to the new vendor, develop him as a supplier development process and get him induct into the business, it is then enough to manage advantage of multiple sources. Placing the order. When the buyer concludes negotiation, once it is done, all has been agreed in a meeting, formally, informally, and settled down, and what is the best price which we can offer, again the quantity, terms, technique, technology sharing, as well as the long-term association with him. He may simply mail a purchase order with the agreed on terms and condition to the supplier. In that process, it's more simpler. Based on those discussion, we can standardize our standard, we can apply our standard purchase order process and release the purchase order to the supplier. If he wants the supplier to start the order immediately, he may telephone or mail him that he has been awarded with the contract and subsequently formalize the order. Looking at a purchase order, what normally does it contains? It talks about the company from where the order is originated, then there are copies with multiple copies which belongs to whom it is, so as it can be distributed appropriately, then the registration numbers, purchase order references, and anything which referred by the supplier. So naturally the quotations or any other inputs which is are derived from the supplier, it can be quoted here. Again, what are the product and descriptions which we are talking about? We specifically mention every detail in this particular, or including the description. If the space is insufficient, it is always important to have annexure to give those specification. Engineering drawings and any element related to that has to be attached to this purchase order. And what are the delivery schedules we are expecting? If there is a schedule which we pre-decided, or we give an order and then scheduling is a separate activity. In some of the cases we spoke about, there is a corporate purchase, then scheduling is happening at the respective manufacturing sites. There are possibility that schedules can be separately managed. But if it is a single unit, single association, naturally we can give some of the scheduling activity very clearly mentioned here in case of long-term association to get a better concession. Then unit price and the unit cost. Where the material to be delivered, what are the other parameters related to excess duty, CST, sales tax, etc. incorporated in the purchase order itself, so there is no ambiguity or any untold information not sharing with each other. So it is critical the purchase order contains every element including terms and condition for supplies. It is important that we have to also get an acknowledgement from the supplier that whatever is agreed is also reflecting in the purchase order. So natural it is that both of them in same line, so legally we both of us are committed, and also ethically know how we go with this particular order. Routine progress follow-up. Most purchasing departments do make routine checks on suppliers' progress on order. It is natural that when while we give schedules, it is natural we can look at those schedules are being met, being planned by these vendors appropriately, so as we can follow up with them whether the supply is coming as per time or any delay which can be internally reviewed so as to avoid any production losses. In typical purchasing department, more than 99% of all orders can be handled with little or no follow up. In a few cases, the routine checks are important. Why it is so? There are some incidents which are not known to the buyer. The supplier is hiding, so it is that kind of failure can be transmitted to a loss to our production and so as our sale losses. So it is very important to do a routine progress follow-up with the vendors and suppliers in a periodic manner. If it is a single source, it is natural that we may have to follow up almost every day, and if it is a multiple sources, we can have a weekly. Or if you have multiple vendors, more than two vendors, we can do a quarterly, fortnightly reviews with the respective vendors to avoid any kind of eventualities. Last, an important factor is sale of scrap and surpluses. In production, there are possibility of certain scrap generated out of production process, and sometimes there may be certain kind of surplus inventory which are lying with us. We have to find out a way and mean to dispose of the scrap and surpluses. Sale of scrap and surpluses. The buying process does not necessarily end when the satisfactory material is received on the schedule, which I stated, because there is a process happening in the plant. There are natural outcome of residues or certain kind of rejection happening online, and it is necessary we have to describe those dispose the scrap, which may be a packing material of inputs, which may be certain kind of protection material which we have to sell off appropriately. And also we have to find out, is there any surplus material lying and subsequently it become a scrap? It is inevitable that we have to look at ways and means to see that whether it is consumed or is appropriately disposed of, so there is no obsolescence happening within the inventory process. It is very, very critical. We have to define a process for scrap. How do we handle scrap selling? The steps related to that, the procedures and SOPs are well defined to avoid any kind of scrupulous activities. Miscellaneous scraps, there are possibility, as we stated, there is a scrap which are residuals, the scrap which is associated with the input packaging material, there are scrap which are damaged at the production time. So these scraps are to be accumulated appropriately, segregated and kept separately, and so as this can be sold off on an appropriate time. Surplus materials and equipments, there are possibilities that in capital investments need to be reviewed time to time and look at the possibility of disposing of those equipments to appropriately a person or any other company needs that. So we have to identify those guys and start disposing and initiate the action for disposal of those equipments. Surplus material, it is very natural that it can be in-house consumption, or look at what is the alternative possibility of using those surplus material to use appropriately to avoid obsolescence in the system. Scrap segregation, we talked about, we have to segregate the scrap and kept it in appropriate way. So we can ask for a quote from any buyer looking at those scrap appropriately. And time to time, we can handle those scraps and dispose it off so as the place is maintained neatly and clearly. It is particularly important to keep scrap segregated. It should be clean and free from impurities. If we leave the scrap as it is, there are possibility of any danger or unsafe incidents can happen if we don't appropriately segregate and allocate the scrap material in its place. Many companies use a color code system for scrap collection and segregation. For example, red barrels for aluminum turnings, yellow barrels for stainless turning. There are other color codes, so as there are bins to keep those scraps separately in stages at the time of generation itself to avoid last time segregation and involve manpower and time. Processing. Many companies invest in processing equipment both to facilitate the handling of scrap and to improve its quality. For example, they buy equipments to dry out and clean metal turnings that are soaked with oil. There are possibility a lot of metal churns items are lying here which are with oil or it is contaminated. There are options available to dry it out using certain kind of equipment which will dry it out, and though so as this quality of the scrap improves and we get a better pricing, and also disposal is much easier. They may segregate both the metal and paper scrap to get a higher price and to make them easier to handle. As we stated repeatedly, that segregation is a must, so as we will get a different pricing for different type of scrap getting generated within the operation, so as we sell to the right vendor and get the right price. Scrap is sold by asking a number of scrap brokers or dealers to bid on either a specific quantity or a year's needs of some commodity. As we can do periodic check of our scrap, validate and get a bid on a periodic basis. For an example, it can be a quarterly process of all the scrap is accumulated and being asked for a bid from the right buyer, and then it is sold to various means. This is very, very critical activity, so scrap is not to be left unattended. The published market prices are available for many scrap materials, and it is common practice to use these prices as the basis for long-term contracts on scrap sales. As we stated, certain things are driven by market rates. For an example, there is a steel waste. So steel waste is based on certain market price which is fluctuating time to time. And it can be given a contract to a given lifter, so he can come time to time and pick it based on the current market price rather than looking at the higher price or lower price, or there is no value addition happening other than getting the right price for our scrap. Disputes over quality are prevented by permitting each interested bidder to inspect the material physically in advance. This is very, very important factor of scrap selling, because we have to create a window for each buyer to, or the dealer, to come and look at and look and inspect the scrap which are lying in the in whatever form, and then finally decide with what type of price they can quote, and then negotiate, finally decide to dispose of. Thank you so much.